News Radio 690 KTSM presents more of the El Paso History Show, featuring your host, documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk, and historian Melissa Sargent. We're live online at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We're going to do it again. We're going to start this hour with a history moment produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso County Historical Alliance. And we are going to talk today about a card game that John Wesley Hardin won, but not the last card game he won. Because he won the last card game he won.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another one ahead of that that he won. Are you ready
yes.
for this?
Yes.
Even when he lost, he won this game.
Gambling returns to the border Monte Carlo. The deafening silence from El Paso's gambling establishments lasted a mere 9 months until recently elected Mayor Campbell fires Police Chief Jeff Milton and replaces him with political supporter Ed Fink on May 1, 1895. That very same evening, the gambling commences again with a quiet game at the Gem Saloon. And who best to be involved in the celebratory atmosphere but the notorious John Wesley Hardin? After losing a tidy sum of $95 during the game, Hardin proceeds to place the muzzle of his six-shooter in the dealer's face and demands a rake-off or a portion of the pot. No more, no less. The dealer, anxious to oblige, counted out the money and Hardin departed. Later, when confronted about the game by Sheriff Fink, Hardin claims the dealer made words as his reason for the dust-up. He was then fined $25 for possessing a concealed weapon at the game, which Hardin claimed he needed for protection.
More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
This El Paso History Moment is brought to you by Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Go online to sargentinventoryservices.com.
You know
Very nice.
You know where the term rake-off comes from? It comes from the casinos where you had the rake where they pull the coins and the money in.
Oh, okay. Down
That's
the crap table, the guy can't reach it, so
That's
he gets
right.
this thing.
He rakes it off, so.
So John Wesley yeah. raked off somebody.
And that really was basically based on the,
I bet
the gambling of
it. Just
stopped.
Rake them.
Yes, I was.
Let's not go too far into this discussion, shall we?
Well, and if,
Whoa, no.
And if people want to get involved in the El Paso History Alliance, they can either go on Facebook and check that out, or they've got over 45,000 followers on that Facebook page, which has some great history and information. Or you can call Bernie Sargent at 915-581-7920, and you can also get involved and help out. And then also we want to not forget the wonderful people over there at Remember, well, I changed them around today because we're talking space. Barbara Given-Bainey, who is now captain of that great Facebook page, or I should say Facebook
captain.
Starship page, uh-huh. Remember in El Paso Win. You can go there for history and a galaxy of pictures galore.
Also, Rick Duncan's also one of those people over there. Rick Duncan?
He's a lieutenant commander today.
That's what he is.
Yes,
okay,
it's Mr. Duncan today.
Mr. Dr. Duncan to you. So be it. Let's talk some more space history. Chris Orwell's still here. We didn't run him off yet. But the thing is, he's got this really cool museum in Alamogordo that he's the director of.
Mm-hmm.
The Space Museum of, no, the New Mexico Space Museum of History. No, what is it, Chris?
New Mexico Museum of Space History.
That's it.
Yep.
That's it.
That's
and,
it.
And he did you get a picture of him yet up on online with his shirt, Melissa?
Yeah, I'm working it right now.
Well, he's got the NASA logo in a T-shirt.
And it says,
not flat.
Flat. And it says, and what's it say underneath the bottom?
We checked.
I think that all the way around. They went all the way around and checked.
Yeah. Space history
a few
is
times.
Amazing. Now, you said inside your museum you've got some neat stuff. How would you categorize what you've got? You walk in, you see what? What do you feature?
Well, the first thing I'm going to say is it's an eclectic collection, you know, so as it is in most any museum. So, but we've got space history from the A to the Z, from the beginning to now, you know, from archaeoastronomy, where you think back to like Wizard's Roost and Stonehenge.
And you
stuff
have
like
Goddard
that.
In there.
All the way. Oh, we got Goddard, yeah. So, you know, and that's, I mean, we haven't even. you need about three programs to really go over the space history of this region,
yeah,
you know, and absolutely everything, you know, and Dr. Goddard and, you know, how much Wernher von Braun learned from not only him, but also Hermann Oberth, who was a German scientist, and then also Konstantin Tsiolkovsky, you know. So we got
more
stuff
than
about
one trip,
all of,
actually.
All of those folks, you know, as well. So it's kind of, you know, that all the key players, well, not all, you know, because you can't.
Almost everybody,
but a lot of the key players in the history of space exploration are covered and their stories told in the museum as part of the Hall of Fame. And then we have objects from the history of space exploration, you know, from taking a look at, you know, astrolabes to the moon globe that was behind Walter Cronkite while he did his broadcasts, mm-hmm. you know, of the moon landings, you know, to a moon rock and you know, missiles and engines and, you know, spacesuits. You name it. It's all in there. And it's changing constantly right now because we're in the middle of a very big program to renovate the museum.
Well, is there any connection between the 1947 Roswell supposed landing of spaceships and the fact that they went where Goddard had done his work?
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of people think so, but really,
no.
You know, it's just kind of the accidental, you know, where the stuff landed.
And they're probably on different sides of Roswell. I don't even know.
Yeah, so I'm not even sure exactly where the landing site is. I kind of try to steer away from that.
Well,
we're supposed to deal with, you know, at the museum a little bit more with the standard space
exploration. If they bring you an artifact, then you'll deal with it.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yep, at this point, you know, no artifacts.
Yep, exactly.
Right. Well, speaking of cowboys and space cowboys, which we weren't, but that's okay. Bernie's on the phone. Bernie, how's it going, Bernie?
It's going great. I'm checking out that shirt on Facebook. Not flat. Are you talking about Earth's surface or the gentleman wearing the shirt?
Well, I'm about as round as the Earth, that's for certain.
But did you read the bottom part?
Yeah, I did.
We checked. What's new, Bernie? You going to do some cowboy stuff downtown?
That's coming up Thursday. We'll be doing that. And the MCAT has gotten on board. They're actually promoting old El Paso's history, which is a cool thing, finally. We're looking forward to it.
Glad to hear it.
Yeah, we're going to be doing it for the next 4 months on 6/28, 7/26, 8/23, and 9/27.
What are you doing exactly? Well, exactly what are you doing?
Killing
each
other.
We're going to do different gunfights each month.
Oh.
We're going to feature probably John Wesley Harden this month, Dallas Stoudemire next month, Alice Abbott the following month, and some other gunfights too. So it won't be just those events. We'll also do some others along with it, so it'll be a fun evening for folks to come downtown, enjoy the scenery, probably see the trolley go by, and some other things,
hey,
too. So we'll have a little bit of fun.
The trolley?
You can rob the trolley, sure. We should tell Chris, this is the other half of Melissa Bernie. These are the reenactor people.
Oh, gotcha.
The guy on the phone
yes.
here is the husband, yep. And he's got more guns, but she's got hidden guns.
That's right. 45s.
Okay.
And the holster.
I think I'll leave that right where it is. Don't go there. All right, Bernie.
Happy birthday, my dear.
Oh, that's today, Bernie Day. Happy
yes,
Bernie Day.
Yes, that's right.
Well, thank you so very much.
And
yeah,
you
it took me a little while to figure out how to dial this phone. Arthritis being what it is at my age.
Normally they have this round dial on them, but you couldn't find one, huh?
They can still tube with the best of them, and the Gators didn't get him either. So. Yeah.
You betcha. Well,
welcome back, dude, and you're not Gator fodder. That's good. And this is Thursday night again, 6 p.m. at the museum or what?
Yes, that's where we'll start it. We'll probably walk just a little bit of distance, and then we'll just do some gunfights there close to the museum. And just have some fun with the folks that show up.
They want to charge for this, so they got to call up Jamie Knoedler at some point.
Yeah, Jaime Knoedler, yes.
Jaime Knoedler. Call the museum and get involved Thursday night, 6 o'clock. Bernie will be there. Or B Square, right, Bernie?
That's right. We want to thank the museum and MCAD for getting on board and helping us to share the history.
Fair enough. Thanks a lot, dude.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it much.
See you at lunch.
You out there at the Space Museum.
Absolutely. He's done a great job.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Bernie. Take a reason.
See you at lunch, babe.
And so did you take Bernie when you took the grandkids up to the museum?
Yeah, he was there. He was busy working, trying to get some money out of somebody, I could tell. He was like, oh, yeah, well, over here, we could do this. And I couldn't get his attention. Like, go away, lady. Don't bother me.
But you've done well getting museum out of the people, apparently.
That's right.
You got exhibits being redone?
We've been doing tons of work up at the museum. So a lot of it invisible to folks, you know, that are visiting, because it has to do with just things like lighting and
the infrastructure,
HVAC.
Your air conditioning bill must be pretty good.
It's pretty large. I mean, that air conditioning system at the building – was put in 1976. And so normally the last 20 years, ours is on year 42. So, you know, it's the first half of it, phase one, just completed yesterday. And so phase two will start here in about a month, and then it'll be completely renovated. The restrooms are getting renovated, and they're going to have space themes to them. So planetary themes. We're going to have a lot of fun with those. And then I'm meeting with exhibit designers this month, and we're talking about the total renovation of the permanent exhibits on the fourth floor and the second floor. And we just finished the theater, you know, here recently, and landscaping on the grounds. I mean, so we've got tons of stuff going on. So more construction than we'd normally have. And actually, it's been kind of, you know, it intrudes on the visitor's experience to a point, sadly, you know, because it's impossible to do all this work and, you know, stay open and not have it be a little bit disturbing.
But you get that zero-gravity toilet in there. Zero-gravity toilet. We'll have a lot of people check it out.
So actually, probably when we do our new manned spaceflight exhibit, there will be a space toilet in there.
That'll be fun. I will say, though, it does have a lot of hands-on for kids.
Yes.
Which is wonderful because they can get in. Well, even adults. I mean, you know, they have a space area where they can try the space
I see just as many adults putting on those spaces.
That's true. There were some people there.
Yep.
But the outside and the inside, so there's always something interactive. And the theaters.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The theater was amazing to sit in
there.
Yeah,
the theater, we were the world's first 4K laser dome planetarium.
Oh, my God.
So, in any case, we did that. And there's more out there now. There's quite a few more. So in any case, and then here in March, we finished replacing the entire dome. So the reflectivity in the picture is much more crisp now.
Oh, my gosh.
Theatrical lighting system, replaced all the carpet, et cetera. So,
and let me guess, when it's 106 in Almogordo, it's nice and cold.
Oh, yes. That theater, we can get the theater down very cold if we want to, yeah. So.
Bring your drinks in to cool them off.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it is a nice thing because if you think about it, people come up to our area and they're visiting multiple things, not just us. You know, they're visiting multiple
things.
They're
on their way somewhere.
Or you know, stopping off and doing White Sands or going up into the mountains, et cetera. So, so a lot of people will do that. They'll go to White Sands in the morning and they'll come to the museum in the afternoon when it's a lot cooler, you know. Yeah. So, and that's a great way to come up and visit the area.
It's an interesting museum all by itself, but it's in a location where you can get to a lot of stuff from there. You're on the way to trout fishing for a lot of people.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. So, up in the mountains or skiing or anything else like that, you know, kind of year-round stuff to do.
And you're close enough that, like, your Cloudcroft, even Ruidoso, you can pop down the hill.
Yes. Yeah, because we're only 20 minutes from Cloudcroft and about 42 minutes from Ruidoso.
Which is not much
there.
At all.
No, that's
well,
not,
actually,
you know,
a day trip out of El Paso is not out of the question.
Oh,
no, that's
same
easy.
Thing.
Yeah,
same thing. You know,
and again,
did it.
I'll tell you, there's another museum there down in the main street.
Yep. Tularosa Basin Historical Society. There's a train depot museum in town.
So there's stuff to look at.
There's a zoo, you know, in town, so that's got a nice collection. There's all sorts of stuff, you know.
And we do appreciate them being nearby and part of the same history we're a part of.
Yep.
What else is inside the museum? Start at the top floor.
So top floor, essentially, it's icons of exploration. So that's the floor where you are going to see things like the globe that was behind Walter Cronkite. You're going to see a Sputnik and an Explorer and spacecraft models.
You got Walter's globe?
Yep. Uh-huh. Moon rocks, et cetera. So then you go down to floor, what we call 4B, because the floors are split. Fourth floor is two parts, 4A, 4B, 3A, 3B, et cetera. So 4B is got, you know, chimpanzees and some more human space exploration, a shuttle lander on the inside of there, so seats from the chimpanzees when they did the training and launches, you know. So eventually from when they did the training, you'll be able to sit, not their rear ends, you know, so, but where they put their rear ends.
You fire that monkey into space, good Lord, what's going to happen on the seat? So, don't go there!
In any case, though, the third floor is rockets and missiles and motors. So everything there, the guidance and navigation computer system, one of only two remaining that is totally complete. There's one at MIT, and then there's one at our museum. And components from that system flew on Apollos 13, 14, 15, 16, and then Skylabs 1, 2, 3. So it's kind of an interesting piece and very unique. And there's a rocket rumbler, you know. So second floor is manned space exploration and our Hall of Fame exhibit, where we also have some Gene Roddenberry stuff.
Oh, tell us about that.
There's the El Paso connection there.
We need to take a break here, but we got this guy doing space stuff like a fire hose.
Yeah,
is great. No, it's your enthusiasm. It's Chris Orwald, director of this museum.
Yep.
Let me guess. If you had had a chance to become an astronaut, would you have taken it?
Oh, in a heartbeat.
Yeah,
in a heartbeat.
And if you get a chance now to ride on one of those things as a tourist.
Oh, yeah, if I had the money, yeah. So yeah,
there's,
I would definitely
there's a
do
catch,
it.
Yeah,
there's a
little,
define
you don't
chance.
Make a whole lot running a nonprofit museum.
But define chance, and the chance is you could get there somehow. You'd do it.
Yep, I would in a heartbeat. Yep.
Chris Orwall's here, and he's going to go to space as soon as he can.
That's right.
Think about that for a second. Whoa, we take
I'm
a break
sure
here and
like
do trivia. Yeah, well, no, hey, you got a, you're your own dude.
That's right, we got trivia.
We're going to push your museum while we can, and then trivia is part of it. Because you did trivia questions.
That's right. This
about
one,
this stuff. Okay.
About this stuff. Oh, yeah.
These are from the first hour.
Yeah, but they should remember these. These are easy ones.
What do you got?
Okay. The first question is, when was the International Space Hall of Fame established at the museum?
Well, that was the first thing done, right?
Yeah. That's what it was in the beginning.
It was
the only one. It's the only one in the world, if I'm correct,
that's
an international.
There are other space hall of fames.
But
this is the international one.
International. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's right. And then.
And so y'all, you won as the year.
All I want is a year. No actual date already. Just
question
two. Year. And question two is the Daisy Decelerator was an air power sled that was used to study the effects of acceleration and deceleration and the impact on the human body. What was the Daisy Decelerator named after?
Oh, I know this
That's
one.
A tough one.
Oh,
yeah,
I know
yeah.
this one. Don't put your eye out.
That's right.
Oh,
so,
look out.
I know.
Did I give it away? No, I didn't.
No, you didn't.
That could
that's
be something
not,
else.
That was a totally that's different a one.
I see.
Because I have one on my wall. Yes.
Well, we don't even know what you're
it's
talking about.
It's not a decelerator.
Unless
either.
You heard the first hour.
That's right.
And they're already calling. Give them the number anyway.
Okay. 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Hi, I'm Susan Eisen. As a native El Pasoan, I started my jewelry business with one focus in mind, making sure our customers are always proud to wear a piece from Susan Eisen Fine Jewelry and Watches. 32 years later, I'm still here focusing on the same thing. Helping you before, during, and after the sale is part of the value and peace of mind you'll receive at Susan Eisen. I want to invite you to experience the Susan Eisen difference and see why thousands of El Pasoans have come to depend on us.
At 5857 North Mesa.
It's always the same. No respect. No respect at all. Even as a kid, I got no respect. I was lost on the beach. I went to the lifeguard and said, "Can you help me find my parents?" He said, "I don't know, kid. There's so many places they could hide." So when it came to getting a pre-owned car, all I wanted was a little respect, you know. But when I went to the Rides Auto Group, I got so much more than that. You see, they're under new management, and I found great deals on all kinds of pre-owned cars. They're having an inventory clearance sale, and like my last wife told me, everything must go. Yeah, she was like every car dealership I've ever been to. She didn't give me no credit. Fortunately, at the Rides Auto Group, not only did they give you credit, but they offer GECU credit union financing on the spot. Where is this spot, you may ask? It's the Rides Auto Group at I-10 in Yarborough. Or give them a call at 915-629-7433. The Rides Auto Group, where you'll get a lot of selection and a little respect.
Celebrity voice impersonated.
You mean that guy's not a real announcer? I don't know. He sounded so good.
Folks, if you own land, you deserve a great deal on a great tractor, and that's why you should visit my good friends at Mahindra during Mahindra Dealer Days right now. Your local Mahindra dealer has huge savings on Mahindra subcompact, compact, and utility tractors, plus a full line of utility vehicles. And Mahindra's long-lasting powertrain warranties, they still come standard. Enjoy the land you love from the comfortable seat of a new Mahindra tractor and use the money you save to do something special. But hurry! You need to buy before these huge Mahindra Dealer Days savings are gone. To learn more about the world's number one selling tractor, it's easy. Visit MahindraUSA.com. That's MahindraUSA.com.
Take advantage of rock-bottom prices and test drive a Mahindra today at Goodman Ag in Las Cruces. Or visit GoodmanAg.com. That's GoodmanAg.com.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We be having fun here. We got things going on like crazy. We got a caller on line one. We have two lines open, 544-5876 And the questions are coming shortly on the trivia. But in the meantime, I've got to tell you who's coming in here next week. We ask the question to a lot of people when they come in just to see what they say. And here's a guy we're going to ask. What is the history of El Paso to a journalist who grew up in Fabens? Mm. What did it look like from there? So we'll ask Chris Babcock. He is one of the people who created the new El Paso Herald Post online. Did you know when the Herald Post disbanded, they disbanded their name?
Yep.
He bought it. So he has a lot. He has seen a lot of history of his own, and he's making some history with that newspaper now. And it's an online newspaper.
July 7th. Paper.
Oh, it's getting there. July 7th, you saw Sur Pueblo. They renovated and updated their tribal museum at the Tigua Indian Cultural Center. They're a tribal historian. Rick Quesada going to join us to talk about that. July 14th. Oh, this is going to be unusual because they're going to come after me on this one. It's to talk with an author who wrote the book Abraham Lincoln in Mexico.
Ah.
Now, why do you think they're going to come after me? It's a detailing the relationship between Benito Juarez and President Lincoln. Dr. Michael Hogan is the author. Also, Cindy Medina will be here locally. And they're going to come after me because they're going to go after President Polk.
Aha.
and what he did back in this era.
It's so all your fault.
I'm going to take it personally. Anyway, July 21, Plaza Classic Film Festival with Doug Poland. So what do you got over there?
Well, we were talking about summer camps and things going on and special events. Hey, you've got EPAS, which of course is the El Paso Archaeological Society, is having their annual potluck picnic for members, friends, and prospective members. This is going to be July 21st at 1 p.m., and it's going to be at the Archaeology Museum in the EPAS lab area. They're right as you're coming into the front door of the Archaeology Museum over there. Yeah, they're right. They work in there together. And they're also issuing a call for speakers for their continuing lecture series, which they've got some great lecture series that are always ongoing at the museum there. And it's, for example, you've got the one coming up, Hidden Fires of Rebellion, the Piero Pueblos circa 1650 to 1700. And this is a lecture by Dr. Michael P. Beltzer. And this is going to be Saturday, July 28th at 2 p.m., and it's free, and it's going to be at the Archaeology Museum. And it is a popular notions of the Piero Pueblos, as far as such notions exist, tend to be limited to the historical fact that some Pueros, as well as Tiwas and other Pueblos, ended up in El Paso area as the in the wake of the Pueblo Revolt. And he goes on to different information.
And the question was, were they volunteers or not? He says they were not.
He said they were brought down as prisoners. But, it'll be an interesting...
Rick Quesada's coming in. We're going to talk to him about this.
I think it's going to be a really interesting talk because it's a lot of history nobody knows about.
And by the way, we invited the chief to come. I don't know if he's going to make it or not. I don't know Joe for years.
Yeah.
All right, back to reality here of trivia. Is trivia reality?
Trivia is
reality.
Who
the heck knows? We've got Ann. Ann is on line one. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning. I'm enjoying your program. I've been up to the museum a few times, and it's quite nice. I'll look forward to being there again.
There you go. Repeat customer. We like
that. Thank you very much.
And they're getting new stuff all the time. They're shaking the tree over there in Washington. And they occasionally will let you have an artifact or two, won't they?
Oh, very frequently. We are a Smithsonian affiliate.
Yeah,
So we're one of the 0.5% of museums in the U.S. that's actually a Smithsonian affiliate and accredited by the American Alliance of Museums.
Wow. And you can use their stuff.
Yeah.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Well, then also, if you have a Smithsonian membership, you can use that. I think
the ASTC, yes, and then Smithsonian with the membership, we have a Smithsonian day every year.
There you go. Yep.
Well, Ann's been there several times. You like the place, huh?
I do. I have taken my children and other kids up there just to get a taste of history. So very, very important.
Cool.
Well, see if we can inspire some astronauts in science.
Oh, there you go.
Excellent.
I'm right with you on that one.
You got a question for
okay, so
for
I have
Ann?
A question. You were interested in the first question. Am I correct?
Yes, one of the International Space Hall of Fame founding date.
What was
1976?
There you go.
Bingo.
Way ahead of all of us. 76.
1976. Yay!
It was a bicentennial thing, you suppose, back in that date.
Actually, it started a few years before that. Oh. So, and it just happened to be, October 76 is when they finished up the construction and opened it up.
All right, Anne's got herself a prize here. What you want?
You want the Pepys or did you want a DVD?
I'll take the Pepys.
That's two in a row we've had Pepys.
That's
taken.
Right.
Hey, guess what? You must know something. It's very good food. In fact, a bunch of us are going out there today, and we need to get Chris to pick us a pick.
Oh, he picked the green
chili chicken enchiladas.
That's the special today. Drum roll.
Green
chili chicken enchiladas is the special.
And that's $6.
Yeah, $6 is all you pay for that, and it's the Oñate special. Do you realize, maybe Ann knows this, I don't know, Chris, you probably don't know this, but the restaurant is physically located exactly where the Camino Real really was.
Oh, didn't know that.
You sit in Pepe's restaurant, you're sitting on the Camino Real. Now, it's a little bit better with air conditioning and not so many horse things going on, but it's a really nice place with really good food.
Oh, yeah.
So there. Ann, you ready for that? It's yours.
Very good.
All right, hold
Very
on
good.
Here.
Thank you so much.
And stay
thanks
online.
For your program.
Thank you. Anything else on your mind this morning?
No, we're good to go.
Thank you. Hold on here. Ann, we'll be getting a Pepe's, and you'll be talking to Cindy. Thank you very much. And we're going to take a break and come back and do this
we
all
have,
over again.
Do we have another person on?
There's nobody else there, because then we're going to keep the DVDs
that's
and
right.
watch them ourselves.
That's right. That Daisy Decelerator is mine.
Oh, that's true.
I'm going to shoot right into the pool.
All right, go ahead and answer the question. Go ahead and answer the
No. Maybe somebody
You think
will call.
Somebody's going to call?
I think somebody's going to call.
Okay, repeat the question.
The Daisy Decelerator, where did it get its name from?
Daisy?
The Daisy Decelerator.
Well, it's Driving Miss Decelerator?
That's right.
Because it was air-powered,
so it's had to come from somewhere along
driving
the line with
Miss
Daisy.
Driving Miss Decelerator.
That's right.
Let's take a break and come back in a minute. Shall we do that?
I think we
call
should.
Call us up if you want to.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
This is an announcement for all people who want to take a risk-free challenge to whiten their teeth in 5 minutes. By calling now, you can whiten your teeth in 5 minutes using clinically proven power swabs. This risk-free challenge is for people whose smile has been yellowed by coffee, tea, red wine, or smoking. The power swabs 5-minute challenge is available by responding to this advertisement. If lines are busy, try again. Because the power swabs 5-minute challenge is exclusive, it's not available in drugstores. Power Swabs was formulated by Dr. Martin Ginniger and whitens teeth with a patented tooth detergent and whitening agent. It's so effective, we challenge you to try it for 5 minutes to see how white your smile could be. Get it risk-free. Dial 1-800-360-2357. That's 1-800-360-2357. Transform your smile into a wow, you look great smile. Dial 1-800-360-2357. That's 1-800-360-2357.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now, 1-800-700-2844. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now, 1-800-700-2844. That's 1-800-700-2844. 1-800-700-2844.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we got callers on hold here. We'll talk to them in a second. In the meantime, we should tell you this week.
Take the music down.
Hello.
We should tell you this week only. You ready? This week only in El Paso Inc.
Speaking of, from Victorian sci-fi to graphic novels, your guide to the book club springing up around El Paso.
That's in the ink. And also, as health insurance costs skyrocket, two El Paso companies have created a new type of health plan.
After fraud sagas, how the new CEO of defense contractor is rebuilding the El Paso company.
El Paso Inc. is locally owned a business journal, and it's available for home or business delivery.
Go online to elpasoinc.com to subscribe.
This week only on ABC 7, a look at the border situation as families were separated by illegally entering the United States. They're getting reunited as Washington works to figure that out. And Tornillo, Texas has become a well-known as a detention center.
That's the topic of ABC 7 Extra, Sunday nights at 10:35 p.m. Join host Saul Sines for an in-depth discussion Sunday nights at 10:35 only on ABC 7.
We got a couple of callers who want to talk space history, I'm guessing. A third line has just started to ring, and here we got Hans on the air. Good morning, Hans.
Good morning.
Good morning, Hans.
What's up?
Well, I wanted to answer your question.
Go for it.
Okay, on the Daisy Decelerator.
The Daisy BB gun.
There you go. That was it.
How many hints did I have to give you?
Well, we told you don't put your eye out.
No, that was plenty. That was a Red Ryder.
But you
BB
still
gun.
Get the idea.
Yeah, so it goes.
All right, Hans, you got yourself a prize here. And what do you? We're out of Peppies for this hour.
But we have a DVD, and we have
the Smelter's a good
Smelters,
one.
The ghosts
are good ones. The Crystal Ray is fascinating. To be honest with you.
Legends of El Paso's Mountains. We have the Smelter. Tom Lee's El Paso.
Pick one.
Let's do the Smelters.
Okay.
The tour, or do you want the ghost tour?
Or do you want the regular Smelter?
The regular Smelter.
Okay. Regular Smelter.
Coming up.
Line one for Hans. There you go. Thanks for playing here, dude. Stay on the line, and Cindy will tell you how to pick that up, all right?
All right, thanks.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you, sir. Take her easy. That's Hans on one, and Hans gets something important.
That's right.
Ask him what he gets. All right, and we got John. John is online too. John, we got you on the radio. What's up?
Yes, I was going to answer the trivia. Is there any other questions?
I tell you what, you ask us one, and we'll give you a prize.
Okay, I want to. When was White Sands established? What year was it officially?
You mean the monument out there?
No, the missile range. When was it?
Oh my God! Do we know that? He's Googling it right now.
I needed it. It was in 1945, but I cannot remember the date. Just a second. 9 July. There we go.
9 July. Okay.
I knew it was in 1945. I cannot remember the date. Yep,
we're going to give you a prize, but I want to ask you a question. What was the name of that area before it was White Sands Missile Range?
Okay. That area must have been something to do with the tribe that was there.
No. I'm talking about the U.S. government.
Oh, the U.S. government?
The bombing range.
The Alamogordo bombing range.
It was the Alamogordo bombing range way back. So they knew, the government knew they could blow it up. You know, it's pretty simple.
Okay, I got you. Okay.
What do we have for you? We got something for you?
A video?
Yeah, we've got the ghost stories of El Paso 3 and 4. We have historic sites and markers, Mexican Revolution, Mount Cristo Rey, Legends. We already went through that one. Legends of El Paso's Mountains.
Okay. I already chose. I kind of like the history of the Mexican Revolution.
Yes.
Okay. Got
that
it.
One there.
And
it's
you realize the Mexican Revolution was cooked up and planned in downtown El Paso.
I've heard of that before.
Oh, my God. These guys will take you to all the sites in this video and tell you what happened in the building. All right, hold on there, and Cindy will tell you how to pick it up, all right?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for playing here. Okay, John on two gets a Mexican Revolution. All right, now we're back to space history finally.
Yes, let's get back
and
there.
And what's got to do with New Mexico, Alamogordo area, and UTEP El Paso area? There's a connection to space here. Yeah. Chris Orwell's here. What is that connection?
Yeah, it's kind of neat. So here we've got folks who are associated with the museum now. Marie Schwarzkopf, who's married to Danny Olivas, who is an astronaut from El Paso, is a member of our foundation board. Danny's an astronaut advisor to our board as well. But when we've got Danny's collection at the museum, and we were talking to Danny one time about his collection and everything, and the subject came up of the research they were doing at UTEP at CASMAR, Center for the Advancement of Space Safety and Mission Assurance Research.
CASMAR is at UTEP.
It's at UTEP, yeah. So it's a new center there for undergraduate and graduate studies, et cetera. And they're doing forensic analysis of the remains of the Columbia space shuttle.
They're the only folks
doing this, and they're making some amazing discoveries that are being incorporated into spacecraft now to make them safer.
Say that slower. The forensic analysis.
Forensic analysis of the remains of the space shuttle Columbia.
Oh, my. What are they finding out?
Well, they're taking a look at – I mean, they're getting down to the microscopic level of taking a look at deposits on the windows of the space shuttle and figuring out, you know, how the space shuttle kind of broke apart. And what they're trying to do is figure out if they can get more analysis and detail of that, they can figure out how to help if an accident were to occur in the future, how to have a more graceful degradation, shall we say, of the spacecraft, such that the astronaut's survival could be improved. And so things that they're learning from that are being incorporated into current spacecraft at SpaceX and NASA.
Something like you were talking about before, like the rocket that was taking off, it would...
Yep.
It would it would push itself off versus...
Right, yeah. So, well, just materials and things like that. A lot of materials engineering. But we had pieces in our collection that are helping them to take a look, and that we've got on loan now to the center that they're utilizing in comparison to the actual pieces from the shuttle to do comparisons of a real one and then a degraded and destroyed one, you know, object, especially the in this situation, the hydraulic actuators from the wings that were damaged during the accident. So that led us then to start working with them on potential displays about the work that they're doing. We've been working with Kennedy Space Center and talking to them about potentially doing displays there. And then also now even our campers take part in a rocket science investigators camp where they're coming down to CASMAR as well as they're learning what they do during the week. And they're learning from the folks staff at CASMAR. In fact, they'll be there next week.
Interesting
stuff.
Yeah.
So all sorts of things that we're working with UTEP on.
And Danny Olivas now, he's no longer living in El Paso, but he was our El Paso astronaut here for a
while. Exactly. Yep. So lives out in California now, works, you know, he's got his own consulting firm in the engineering world. So, but he's out here very frequently.
And interesting stuff. All right, let's go back to your museum floor by floor. You have a gift shop with food in it, don't you?
We got astronaut ice cream and things like that, which is probably one of the more popular items in the gift store.
Is that stuff any good?
So, well, that 50-50 opinion on that
one.
So
look at my face.
There are people who just absolutely hate it, and there are other people who just absolutely love it.
Well,
I guess
if you're in outer space.
You like dehydrated ice cream.
So, yeah.
Well, if you're in outer space and you want your ice cream cold, you just stick it out the window for a little while.
Yeah, that would make it really cold.
And it would cause you some other problems.
Yep, exactly. So, holes in the spaceship.
Have you ever eaten that stuff?
So yes, I have. Yep. So on frequent occasions. So, but in any case, yeah. So I don't mind it at all. So you know, would I ask for that for my dessert? No, I'd rather have real ice cream.
Yeah, there you go.
So, but when you go up into space, you gotta
eat what you gotta
light.
Eat.
Well,
look at
travel light.
Look at what the Army's or the military always has to eat in their little K rations. You know,
MREs.
Well, is there a tube in there? It's just a tube of stuff, right? And it says hamburger on it. Is there such a thing?
Oh, all of the food these days is packaged up, usually in either a dehydrated or limited hydration, you know, form that then the astronauts either rehydrate up in space, et cetera. So, but yeah, and it's virtually every kind of food, you know. So, and in fact, actually, the food up there now is quite good, and they get to select their menus ahead of time.
But it's still, you got to add water, right?
Not always.
Oh,
so a lot of it, a lot of it does go up partially hydrated, you know, as necessary. So.
Interesting. So you got some of that if you want to buy some.
Not exactly the same stuff that they fly in space in. Yeah,
but you've got some.
We got commercial stuff.
Funky ice cream.
Dehydrated foods. So that are similar.
I might have to try that one of these days. What else is going on in that museum? You got more floors to talk about.
So like I said, on the second floor we have the rockets, missiles, and motors. The human space flight. Sorry, it was off by a floor there. So human space flight, and so we have spacesuits on display there. We have a concept space toilet. The bottom half of that floor we have.
Concept space toilet. What does that mean?
It was one of the toilets that they came up when they were first taking a look at a space station.
How to do this?
So Skylab on how to have a toilet on the space station.
Let's just say if you want more details, go there.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
so come over and take a look because it's sideways.
We're not going to do that here.
It's sideways on the wall. So in any case,
you can't really
hard
that one out.
Yep.
So, yeah. You'd have to be weightless to use it.
On the second floor, it's fun because we got an exhibit on our Hall of Fame inductees, and we're highlighting Gene Roddenberry currently. So because he was one of our last inductees, and there's an exhibit there that has a lot to do with Star Trek. And includes a full-scale transporter that people can stand inside.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun. You know, that's a lot of fun.
Well, yeah,
so.
We claim Gene Roddenberry. He left when he was 2 years old.
Yeah, so, and it, yep, yep. So, but there's a connection.
And you know,
the area.
And where
you
his house.
Star Trek. You've got some other items from Star Trek in there, too.
Oh, yeah, quite
some
a few. A lot of memorabilia from
my kids
from
got a kick out of that.
And if you don't know who Roddenberry was in relation to this conversation, you're in the wrong room.
Yeah, and you talked about stuff from the Smithsonian. We got two props from the original TV show. Or
what?
Three, actually. So we've got spears from the Galileo 7 episode. We've got a tribble that Uhura held during the Trouble with Tribbles episode.
Oh, my
God.
And
we've got the Enterprise encased in acrylic from the Cat's Paw episode. That was their Halloween episode in, I think, 67.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in any case, a lot of fun stuff, you know.
You guys got cool
stuff.
On
the first floor, we got spacesuit try-on area in front of a lunar mural, you know, so build a rover. All sorts of fun things.
I want to ask you something. I always want to know about this. If a guy gets in a spacesuit and he's all suited up and he's out there walking around doing work, and all of a sudden, his nose itches. What happens?
He lets it itch.
Oh, my God.
There's really? Nothing you can do.
Yep. So just all day long, you have a nose itch, yep. and then, okay, we'll yep. get later on.
That can be extremely distracting, as you can well imagine.
I think you should have a plan for that.
Yeah, well, there's no way to do it, you know. So
you can't get your hand back up in there. And
yeah, no, there's kind of that face shield in the way kind of
no,
thing.
No, but you can't get inside the suit.
No.
No, my
no,
God.
Yep, no, no,
no, there's no little hand nose scratcher.
Yep.
You see what I worry about? Yeah. The stuff I worry about.
It's not so much the scratching on the nose that's an issue. It's things more like when one of the astronauts from Italy had a leak in the back of his helmet.
Oh, God,
from the
it
water
fills?
Tube, and his helmet started filling with water, which in space, I mean, you could drown in that situation because the water's just floating all around in front of your face. He almost didn't make it back into the International Space Station.
I read that story. That was scary.
Not a plan A kind of thing.
No. Nope. Nope. Jeez. So, yep.
Well, so you've got spacesuits. People can actually put them on.
No, well, they're essentially the same ones we sell in our gift shop. These are not actual spacesuits.
Oh, okay.
they're mock-ups, you know, kind of fun things, you know. So for people to put on.
A real spacesuit would be a few million bucks, I'm guessing.
Easily, yeah. Okay. So yeah, a lot, yeah, a
especially
lot more,
if you wanted
actually.
To walk around with a little air conditioner it has with
yeah.
it or whatever.
I mean, we have replica spacesuits that we have for outreach activities and marketing and things like that. Now these they look very real, et cetera. So I mean, one of those, the mock-ups, not operational, just a mock-up, is about $25,000.
How much does it weigh?
So, you know, not that much really. So,
I mean, out of space, you don't care.
Out in space, yeah, it's quite a bit heavier.
But if you had to put one on the ground.
Yeah, here on the ground, you know. So, but they do, you know. And when the astronauts put them in and they go into the neutral buoyancy lab, the pool kind of thing. So the spacesuit weighs quite a bit, but they're on a lift that lifts them into the pool kind of thing. So, you know, but yeah.
It equalizes what they're going to experience someday.
In space, yeah. So you still have gravity, you know. So if you're upside down, you feel like you're upside down. But you are buoyant enough that you can move around. Like you're in space.
Do you have any space station stuff?
From the actual space station? At the moment, not on display. You know, so we have some minor thing, you know, flags and things like that, but no actual artifacts from the space station. We do from the space shuttle that have flown up, you know, so including we've got one of the Getaway Special cans that was utilized for experiments. This one flew on STS-85.
What are you talking about? Getaway Special?
Getaway Special. These were special canisters that were flown that experiments could be put in.
Oh.
And it was much easier to get it approved and flown because all the components went inside the canister, and this one was used for a critical viscosity of xenon experiment, kind of liquid metal, if you want to think about it.
Who wants to know that?
So, in any case, well, the engineers did.
Oh.
Really did. So, in
somebody
any case,
did.
Yep.
Give
so.
It to an engineer and they'll come up with a reason.
Yep. So, yeah. So, we have a number of things like that in the museum.
We need to talk about your video. I don't think we've actually talked about it on the air here yet.
Oh,
I mentioned it to you off air.
We're having a lot of fun, yeah. So
you had a drone flying around
yep,
out there.
Yep. So, well, we've started working with the group NewMexi.co out of Las Cruces, and they're helping us with visuals and online marketing, shall we say. So, and they came out and did this video for us where they flew around with a drone around the museum and got some absolutely gorgeous footage, you know.
Oh,
so
it's drones are incredible.
Posted on our Facebook site and elsewhere, so, and it's getting quite a bit of quite a few likes, you know. So
what's the Facebook page?
So well, if you just put
I'll go look it up.
If you put in New Mexico
Museum of Space History,
in Facebook, you're gonna find it. So, you know,
can
like
you
our,
spell
our
Google
website. Yeah, our regular website is nmspacemuseum.org.
I've got that up. Yep, I got that one up. Okay.
But the video is really kind
of
neat.
Yeah, so it's a lot of fun. So, and we're gonna do some fun ones as well in the not too distant future that we're gonna try and utilize in theaters and things like that in El Paso and Las Cruces.
Oh yeah.
You know that will be humorous, shall we say?
Okay.
Yeah. So that'd we're gonna have some fun with that.
Well, lighthearted.
You're having fun doing this, aren't you?
Oh yes, lots. You know. So, and if you're not having, you know, same as I always say, if you're not having fun in the job you're doing,
you
find
shouldn't
a different
be doing
job.
It.
Yeah.
Know?
Find
so
a job that's
find
not
a different
job.
So, and this job is very easy to have fun in. You know.
Yeah, and any museum director, they've got to make it fun because if you can't make it fun, then. Yeah. People
if I don't
not
find
gonna...
it interesting, if my staff doesn't find it interesting,
nobody's
our visitors
gonna find
certainly
it
aren't going to find it interesting.
They're going to go out the door, yeah.
I just called up your video, and I got it frozen somewhere in the middle here. I don't know what I'm looking at here, except it's a wide shot of your campus.
Yep.
And what is this thing in the lower left-hand side? Is that a space engine?
Yes, that is an F1. That is an F1 engine from the Saturn V rocket. So that
oh
is, you know, so you would have those five F1 engines on the bottom of the Saturn V. That's one of them. So that's out there and it's on display. And
was
it's
that a real one?
Yeah, that's a real one. So, and it's in its shipping cradle and it's actually split apart because it actually was two pieces that were then put together.
What's that next thing out here in the desert here? What is that?
The dome?
Yeah.
That's a dome that would have covered up. It was an optical tracking system that was utilized out at the missile range to track the missiles.
Okay, then you got a little missile. whistles there. And that's your Little John, no?
A Little Joe, yep. So Little, Joe, which is actually named after, I don't play dice games, but that was from the craps. And it, because of the engine configuration, looked like the dice configuration that was called Little Joe in the craps game.
Well, you got that's the exterior stuff, and that's an amazing little building there. All right, what? Oh, we didn't take a break.
And don't
here.
Forget, you're seeing Ham's burial site there as well. Don't forget about Ham the chimpanzee.
Yeah.
Ham's
buried at the museum. That's right. Yep, so that's right.
We get all sorts of people coming to visit him, including stars that have TV shows on A&E and things like that.
You get any other chimpanzees showing up?
So yeah, well, no, they don't come to visit. Nah. They never come
the
to
family
visit.
Family never cares after a while. All right, enough of that. We're going to take a break and come back and do this again. Call us up if you think you need to.
Okay, what is our 915-544-5876.
You sure?
I don't know. 544-KTSM.
Buffet the Italian way. Now at Cece's, for a limited time, try new Italian flatbread pizzas, Caesar salad, and lemon creme bars. Plus, get all your favorites on the buffet. When you crave more for less, Cece's. Restrictions apply.
Earnings vary based on your effort.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in El Paso? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the El Paso area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. El Paso is a perfect market for my system, and next week I'm holding a free two-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get two free tickets to Than's workshop, call 1-800-700-5339. Seating is extremely limited. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also reserve a free copy of Than's Money for Deals guide. That's 1-800-700-5339. That's 1-800-700-5339.
Message and data rates may apply. Please do not text and drive.
Ever wonder why Europeans seem to speak so many languages? Maybe it's because they use Babbel, the number one selling language learning app in Europe. Babbel's award-winning technology gets you speaking right away, whether you're learning Spanish, French, or German. And best of all, you'll remember what you've learned.
I always thought I was bad at languages, but after using Babbel, I can tell you I was just taught the wrong way.
Using Babbel's 10 to 15 minute lessons, you can be speaking confidently in your new language within weeks.
I was amazed that I could start having real life conversations right away. It was so fast. Now I'm speaking Spanish. Woohoo!
No wonder Babbel is the number one selling language learning app in Europe. Try it for yourself and see why Babbel is the quick way to get conversational in a new language, like Spanish, French, or more. You can try Babbel for free. Download the app or text TRIAL to 484848. Text TRIAL to 484848 to try Babbel for free. That's TRIAL to 484848.
It's Saturday, June 23rd, the first weekend of summer. What's new today on the iHeartRadio app?
iHeartRadio.
Get that summer vibe with Real Fun Beach Radio. Perfect for giving you that bubble toes, beachy feeling all summer long. Check out our rock party playlist when you want to live loud and play hard at your summer house party. Or the best yacht rock playlist on the planet when you want to enjoy smooth sailing all summer. It's all new and waiting for you today.
iHeartRadio.
All your favorite music, all your favorite stations, all free.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we're wrapping up an interesting discussion about the space history of the United States of America. It just happens to live in Alamogordo, New Mexico, because a lot of it happened out in the desert right out in front of that space museum.
Yep.
And it's a very interesting little world up there.
Yeah.
And Chris Orwall is here, and he's about to explain how things are going to just explode on July 4th.
So, yeah. So, as always, So, we have a July 4th fireworks show that we do up there at the museum. You know, our members can actually buy tickets and park up in our parking lot. And, you know, we're this year, you know, 2 years ago, the biggest shell we could launch was 6-inch. Then last year, we went up and we were launching 8-inch shells because we built a new site.
Oh, geez.
Now we've expanded the site and closed off a little bit of our parking lot. We're able to launch 10-inch shells, so the show keeps getting bigger.
See how excited he's getting?
It's going to be like a war zone.
He's waiting for that thing to... You know what? I'll bet you we can see those in El Paso.
He might be able to, so it's going to be pretty high up there.
And that's
so.
July 4th, 9 p.m., give or take?
Exactly. About 9:15. Yeah. So in any case, great place to come up. There's going to be also in town, there's going to be a Red, White, and Blue Brew and Music Fest that people can check out with some very big West Texas bands, et cetera. So.
Partiers down there in Alamogordo.
Oh, big time. So,
oh, that's great.
Yep.
Well, the whole thing about the space world is that everybody's fascinated by it. We all look up and say, gee whiz, looky there. And the United States got into it way back, and the explorers were here, the experimenters were here.
There's so much. You know, space history in this area goes back, you know, Wizard's Roost, where they were building places like Stonehenge, you know, taking a look. So archaeoastronomy there. Dr. Goddard, you know, one of the three fathers of modern rocketry, along with Tsiolkovsky and Oberth, you know, so he did the vast majority of his experimentation here at Roswell. You know, the astronauts were initially selected, you know, at the Loveless Clinic up in Albuquerque.
Oh, really?
And then you have the initial launches here in the United States. So the first picture of Earth taken from space, taken from this region here, you know, from a launch at White Sands Proving Ground. The first animals launched into space done here. So many of the firsts were done here. The first launches into space here in the U.S. done here in this area. First launch of the Apollo program here. Training of the astronauts for the Apollo program. You know, a lot of the geology training was done in New Mexico and West Texas,
right.
Down here around El Paso. So, you know, the engines tested for the lunar landing done up at White Sands Test Facility. The NASA Flight Center down here at El Paso. So much of that, you know.
Yeah, the Guppy used to live here.
Yeah, it's still around. So, you know, and the T-38s, you know, flying in and out of here,
right.
Et cetera. So, yeah, all sorts of things like that, you know. So that's the, you know, we honor the history of all of that, you know.
And one thing we haven't really touched on much, but it was there, and that's Holloman Air Force Base.
Yep.
Was also a location for quite a bit of this stuff.
The
chimpanzees were over there.
Chimpanzees were trained there. So the testing on the sled track, balloon experiments where they took folks up to the edges of space to see how the suits and the capsules would work, et cetera. So it was done at Holloman Air Force Base, et cetera.
Well, I don't understand the geography out there because you got the monument, which is all the White Sands.
Yep.
And you got Holloman, which is on one side of the White Sands.
Yeah, just to the east of it and touches right on it as well.
Where did the shuttle land the one time it landed out
over
there?
Over on more towards the western side, so there. So at a place that was called Northrop Strip. And now it's called White Sands Space Harbor. So, but that's where
STS-3
landed.
Is it used for anything?
So it still is. It can be an emergency landing place for aircraft that are operating out at the base. So because it's a very large landing strip, you know. So yeah,
I keep hoping every time there's they could come back.
Yeah, not anymore. Not the shuttle. So, but I mean, they're still testing for the current Orion spacecraft. They're doing the escape testing there at White Sands Missile Range. They're doing the parachute testing.
Right.
They launched from the Spaceport America. Flew over the mountains and then it landed at the missile range. So yeah, testing even today is occurring out there.
It's one of the largest areas for such things to happen.
Yes, yeah, and they own the airspace all the way from ground to space. The only other place like that in the U.S. is the White House.
Well, let's leave that alone.
Yeah, no,
we're not going to do it.
Don't fly. Over
I don't
that.
Even want to know about that.
Yeah, don't fly over that.
Let's just talk about New Mexico. So, well, the thing is, this has been kind of fun here, Chris Orwell, because the stuff that has gone on in the history. It's great to have somebody compiling it all. And we should actually thank the state of New Mexico for creating this museum that you're now the director of.
Yep.
And thank you for pushing all the buttons you can. I see you as a guy in the control room pushing all the buttons all the time.
Trying to make it better. Trying to make it better for our visitors so that they have a much nicer experience.
That's great.
That's great stuff.
And you always have to update. And I imagine yours are continually because there's so much changing all the time.
As of 4 years ago, the exhibits had not been updated really since the late 1980s. So it's now.
There we are.
Now we've been making a lot of changes and we've put about $3 million into it and we've got a lot more work to go. I told my staff when I got there, it was a 15-year program to really get it totally renovated.
Stop in Alamogordo, take a look at the Space Museum, and it's going to be an interesting. Chris, thank you for coming in.
And
thank Chris's
you for having
picture's
me.
Up on Facebook page, and I also put your website as well as your Facebook page up.
Truly
there,
so. Appreciate
One
it.
More time, we thank the control room crowd here. Cindy Milazzo.
Yay.
Cindy, thank you. And Marco, thank you for coming. And we're going to go to Pepe's after
lunch
for lunch today.
And the special is the green cheese enchiladas.
Chicken something rather.
Something rather.
And Bill Toll, thank you kindly
thank
for being Mr. Electron one more time. Everybody else, EPHistory.com for the details of the radio show. Melissa, next week?
Next week I'll be back.
Come back. Let's do this again then.
Yes.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show, and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage, ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM, El Paso.